wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where.
Of course, that's from the soundtrack to the 1939 film version of L. Frank Baum's beloved children's story, Over the Rainbow. Beloved children's story, The Wizard of Oz, Over the Rainbow, the name of the song, and it's sung by Judy Garland, who we've determined here was probably about 17 when she made that film. And we'll be hearing first up on Live and Local today a feature on the contemporary adaptation of that show called The Wiz, which is the current production at Urbana High School theater program, which runs this Wednesday through Sunday. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's your connection to local performances. And I specifically mentioned that The Wizard of Oz was based on a children's story because our second feature today will be on a program called Words in the Wind, which has become an annual event to benefit the Book Mentor Project, which is a project of Illinois Public Media, of which WILL-FM is a part. Words in the Wind will take place twice this year, Thursday in Champaign, and next Tuesday in Urbana, and we'll have the coordinator and I think a couple of the actors involved in that project, which is a set of concert-style readings of children's books. First on Live and Local today, we have three actors, the director, and a volunteer pianist of illustrious credentials, for The Wiz, which is opening at Urbana High School on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, continues through Saturday at the same time, and then a Sunday matinee at 2:30. Tim Broker is the director of theater and director for the production. He also teaches English and speech at Urbana High School. And he brought with him three of his cast members, Caitlin Elliott in the role of Aunt Em and Glinda, the Good Witch. Jeremy Beasley is the Tin Man, and Tavadzwa Diener is Eveline. We also have with us Stephen Larson, borrowed from Champaign Central High School, where he's the choir teacher and involved in their musicals there. He's playing for this production and is here with us in the studio this afternoon. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Broker, you get to have the first word on why you decided to choose The Wiz.
Always hard to pick shows for year to year, and you try to cater to the students that you have in your program. And I think we had some students who were excited about a show such as The Wiz, and so I first of all chose it knowing that we could do justice to it. Second of all, I had the opportunity to go to New York City over the summer for the first time to a Broadway theater workshop, and it put a lot of inspiration into kind of a new twist or a new take on The Wiz that we could go with. And so we have a whole new concept associated with our show as well.
So the workshop you went to put inspiration, meaning that somebody else did something with The Wiz that was interesting, or just the notion of reconceptualizing classic musicals?
I think it was the notion of reconceptualizing based on just my experience in New York City, in Times Square, in the Broadway Theater District, and just working with a lot of Broadway professionals and just putting a new twist on things.
So The Wiz itself is a reimagination, somewhat, of The Wizard of Oz. I've actually never seen The Wiz, I'm sorry to say. So maybe I can manage to fix that this weekend. I know Stephen just did a double take, like, you what? I don't know if that's what that meant, but that's what it looked like. But I understand it's more or less, at least as far as the plot goes, a remake of the story, reproduction of the story that's familiar to those who know The Wizard of Oz, but that's about where it ends.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Dorothy in Kansas with Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. The Twister comes through, and it takes her to New York City, which is the very, like, urban setting. And it's the original version of The Wiz has this real soulful sound to it with the music and the way that they've reinvented it. But you still have the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow. There's still Toto here and there. You've got the witches. You've got Glinda still. You've got Eveline, which is the Wicked Witch in this production. There's another new witch that's in The Wiz named Atta Pearl, who's another kind of good witch. And they're all sisters. But it follows the real basic, like, who she meets. She goes down the Yellow Brick Road. In this show, the Yellow Brick Road is actually portrayed by people who do a lot of backup singing for a lot of the solo songs along the way. So I think it was a big push to make the show have an urban feel and to make it more soulful.
Soulful in this case, meaning that the production itself and the film version was an all-African-American cast.
Right, yeah.
Which you have partly at Urbana High School.
We do, which was really exciting because a lot of times in this area you don't have the opportunity to do a show to focus on that kind of demographic. And I think we have the opportunity in our school. We have the diversity to really put it on, and we have a very diverse cast in the show.
So it is a diverse cast, and you said you've reimagined somewhat.
Yes, we did. For people who are popular or are familiar with the former TV show Smash, what we've done is we've taken the show is about the making of a Broadway musical, and we've taken The Wiz and put our twist on it that Dorothy is she is this teenager with angst living, you know, with her aunt and uncle for whatever reason in Kansas, but she really dreams of being a big Broadway star. And so when the tornado comes and takes her away and the whole thing is her dream, it's just reimagining herself performing on Broadway. So as she meets all of the characters along the way, she meets these people who have had some kind of connection with Broadway. When she flies into Munchkin Land, instead of having, you know, little munchkins, we have tons of characters from a variety of Broadway shows that pop up, and you just kind of see them interacting with her. And it's kind of a fun game to figure out if you can see what shows they're all from. You know, we've got Atta Pearl, who's there's a coined line in the show where she's the feel-good girl, and she kind of was a one-hit wonder. She made it big on Broadway at one point. And so the Munchkin people, who are essentially starving artists who are trying to make it big on Broadway as well, look up to her, and she helps guide Dorothy down the Yellow Brick Road. Like I said before, the Yellow Brick Road, we have these girls. We have three girls that are playing the Yellow Brick Road girls, and they kind of appear as the backup singers or the urchins in the musical Little Shop of Horrors. So they're kind of these backup singers who have multiple costume changes and just appear throughout the show kind of narrating and moving the show along. The evil witch Eveline is actually like the big time producer on Broadway. And so she's crushed all of these dreams, and that's kind of why she is the evil witch. And so Dorothy has to eventually kind of smash out Eveline as it is, in order to make it big or to reach her dreams. And so the show itself still carries the message of being able to dream big and hold on to your dreams and believe in yourself, and you can achieve anything.
In order to create this conception, do you have to change the script?
You know, it's interesting because it first came up as kind of a joke, and we talked about, well, this could work. And as we were going through rehearsals, more and more we found that the script, the lyrics, it worked, and we didn't change very much at all. Because it still works, which it sounds really weird, but it does. The lyrics and the songs, the different lines the characters have. I think the way we've designed the set helps imagine things because you see a theater. When they go backstage to the Emerald City, they're actually going backstage to the production of Wicked. You see them go through the backstage of the theater, that sort of thing.
So there's, I imagine, a certain reliance on good costuming to know what some of these cameo appearances
are. Yes, there's some really cool costumes that have come out. When we had our first dress rehearsal the other night, I was very impressed to see them all on stage. And there were a couple people there who were on my staff who hadn't heard exactly which characters would be appearing. So they were just in awe trying to figure out who all these characters were, and they were just naming them. And it was really cool to see it all come together after imagining it for months.
We're talking about The Wiz, which is the current production at Urbana High School, the theater program there. It opens on Wednesday night at the high school theater, which is newly refurbished, by the way, and then continues through Sunday with a matinee that day. Tim Broker is the director of theater, and we have with us three of the cast members. And who's going to go first?
Caitlin.
Caitlin Elliott in the role of Aunt Em. And Glinda, the Good Witch, but you're singing in the role of Aunt Em at the moment for this song.
Yes, I am.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what leads up to this particular song?
Well, in the beginning, we see Dorothy kind of at odds with the Aunt Em character. She knows that she loves her deep down, or maybe she needs reassurance of that. But Aunt Em is a very stern woman, and she doesn't like to show her emotions. And so this song is her opening up to Dorothy about how she truly does care about her, and she wants to see her live out her dreams.
Okay. From The Wiz at Urbana High School here on Live and Local.
Put your arms around me, child, like when you bumped your chin. Then you'll know I love you now as I loved you then. Though you may be trying sometimes, and I'll need you when you're not there. I may get mad and turn you away, but I still care. But you shouldn't ask for more than can come from me. I am different than you are, and one day you'll see. Though you may be trying sometimes, and I'll suddenly start to scream, it's only because I want you to be what I see in my dreams. And I'd like to know it's there, the feeling that we once had, knowing that you can come to me whenever. I'm watching you grow. If it makes you sad sometimes, I see your feelings show. And one day I'll look around and you will be grown. You'll be out in the world, such a pretty girl, but you'll be on your
From The Wiz in the role of Aunt Em, Caitlin Elliott, who is playing that role at Urbana High School as they open the production Wednesday night. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, Stephen Larson is at the piano. Our program is supported in part by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Caitlin, that sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks for singing it for us. Is it a trick for you to, or is it, I should say, tricky for you at all to play two roles in this play, or are they designed to be one person playing two roles?
Well, yeah, that's the interesting part. We don't really try to convince the audience that I'm a different person. We're just showing that Aunt Em is kind of present throughout Dorothy's entire dream, and she's watching her grow. And before, she didn't really understand what Dorothy wanted out of life and what her dreams were. And I think throughout the show, she's starting to understand. You'll see me pop up in other scenes. And then towards the end, I appear as Glinda and kind of guide Dorothy home with an understanding of who she wants to be now.
So is that all part of the original conception of The Wiz, or is that part of the transformed conception you guys are doing?
Originally, they're separate roles. But our take on it, it just worked out. Like how Mr. Brooker was talking about before, we didn't have to change the script. It just sort of made sense to us that Aunt Em would be present throughout Dorothy's journey.
Okay, well, we have two of the other actors from the production here with us, Jeremiah Beasley as the Tin Man. Are you next?
Yes.
And you want to tell us a bit about what you're going to do and what leads up to this song?
This is the part of the musical where Dorothy and the Scarecrow run into the Tin Man. He has been, his job is in Broadway, is he's been in the scene shop making sets and building props, and but his true passion is he wants to be an actor and show that he's always had what it takes to sing and act. And so Dorothy taking him on this journey, he wants to see if the Wiz can actually grant him and have a chance to feel what it's actually like to be on Broadway.
So I'm going to guess that, like The Wizard of Oz, each of these characters, particularly the animal characters, but also the character of Dorothy, they have this thing they think they lack, but the wizard eventually gets them to realize that it's all inside them anyway. So this is your thing in this case instead of the Tin Man's. What was it, the heart?
The heart,
that he was
yes.
missing in The Wizard of Oz? Yeah.
Yes.
So this is the version of your heart right here.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So what's the song?
Slide Some Oil to Me.
I like the sound of that. Jeremiah Beasley with pianist Stephen Larson here on Live and Local.
Slide some oil to me, slip some to my spine. If you don't have STP, Crisco be just fine. Slide some oil to me, hit my shoulder blades. All y'all that don't have to lubricate sure have got it made. Slide some oil to me, slip some to my side. Standing here in one position sure can make one tired. Slip some to my elbows and my fingers if you would. Come on and slide some oil to me, girl, ooh, that sure feels good. Slide some oil to my feet, look, I have toes again. Come on and slide some oil to my knees and let me see if I can bend. Slide some oil to me, I'm beginning to feel fine. Come on and slide some oil to my throat and let me lubricate my mind. And let me lubricate my mind. And let me lubricate my mind.
Jeremiah Beasley is the Tin Man from The Wiz with Stephen Larson at the piano. That sounds like a dance number to me.
Yes, it is. I actually tap dance in that.
Are you a tap dancer, or did you have to learn for this occasion?
I had to learn, actually.
Was it difficult?
Yes.
And how's he doing, everybody?
Doing pretty well.
Remember, there was a show some years ago, the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company did, where, and I'm actually going to forget the name of it, where a lot of the guys had to tap dance, and none of them knew how, including the one of the leads who ended up going off and being a pretty good actor elsewhere. And I saw the show, and they did very well. So I'm sure you're doing fine. You don't have to dance on a pie plate, though, or anything like that.
No.
And is it hard to dance in a Tin Man costume?
No, my costume's not really Tin Man, you know.
It's a suggestion?
Yeah.
I want to comment on what I've seen. We got three of the actors here from Urbana High School's production of this show. And you spent most of the time in here holding hands. Is that just between the three of you, or is that part of the culture of doing a show at the Urbana High School?
Well, usually before every show, we have like our roundup, and we all hold hands and stuff like that. So it's just something that helps us, you know, get our nerves out, and it's comforting for all of us.
Support each other in one way or another, both in the making of the show and now that you're actually here performing on the radio. Is this the first time doing that for all of you, by the way?
Yes, performing on the radio, for me at least, is the first time. But we've also all known each other before this year, so I think we were close coming into the show, and that's helped.
And this is not your first musical either for any of you?
No.
No. Well, we have one more performance from the bad witch herself, Evelyn. Is she really bad?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. played here by Tafadzwa Diner. You want to set up your song for us?
Yeah, so pretty much Evelyn is just a mean producer lady, and she believes that bringing other people down makes her successful, and she believes that Dorothy's disgusting, the Tin Man's disgusting, everyone, like, she hates everyone. And so that song pretty much is like, it's called Don't Nobody Bring Me No Bad News, and it's like, there's people she sees around her, and she's like, all these people are bringing me bad news, and they need to stop.
And one hopes she gets her comeuppance in the end, yeah. Okay, let's hear it from Urbana High School's production. Oh, they're all getting up. They're all involved in this one. All right, this should be a good number.
When I wake up in the afternoon, which pleases me to do, don't nobody bring me no bad news, 'cause I wake up already negative and I've wired up my fuse. So don't nobody bring me no bad news. Now if we're gonna be buddies, better bone up on the rule, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news. You can be my best friend as opposed to paying dues, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news. No bad news.
No bad news.
No bad news.
No bad news.
Don't nobody bring me no bad news.
No bad news.
But just give me the clue, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news. When you're talking to me, don't be crying the blues, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news.
No bad news.
If you're gonna bring me something I can use, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news. Bring the message in your head, something you can lose, 'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news.
No bad news.
You can verbalize and vocalize, but just give me the clue,
'cause don't nobody bring me no bad news.
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 Don't nobody bring me no bad news.
No bad news.
You can be my best friend as opposed to paying dues,
'cause nobody bring me no bad news.
Don't nobody bring me no bad news.
No bad news.
Because I'll make you an offer, child, that you cannot refuse. 'Cause don't nobody bring me. Don't nobody bring me.
Don't nobody bring me.
Don't nobody bring me.
Don't nobody.
Don't you bring it? I don't need it. Hey.
Don't nobody bring me.
No.
big smile from the evil witch. I mean, pretty considering there. You don't seem like an evil person.
No, I'm not.
So you are not typecast in this role, in other words.
No, I don't think so.
To Fazwa Diener as Eveline from The Wiz, and she was backed up by Caitlin Elliott and Jeremiah Beasley, who were playing Aunt Em and Glinda and the Tin Man, respectively. Tim Broker is the director of theater at Urbana High School and directing this production. Is it difficult to cast a musical at Urbana High?
There's always a lot of people interested in being a part of it. So that's part of picking a show, understanding whether or not we will have enough people audition to do that show. But once I've been there, since I've been there for a few years now, I have a better idea of like what the talent is and who can audition, and it's easier to pick a show. But typically it's gotten to the point now where it's getting very challenging to cast in terms of the talent that we have. So it's not necessarily not having the people, but it's having too many people. And I've yet to actually double cast a show at Urbana, but I think we're getting to the point where it's almost going to be necessary to give justice to the students.
And I'm sure it's pretty common to do that in school situations,
yeah,
educational
is.
Situations. We just had a feature on the University of Illinois opera production of Verdi's Falstaff, which is also happening this weekend. They certainly double cast their main roles. What about an orchestra? I assume you have an orchestra in the pit?
We do. We have, I think there's 23 people that are playing in the pit, which I've done the show before, and I've seen it many times before. And I've really only seen it with a small combo of instruments. But we have a real full-sounding pit, and I think it really helps with the energy. We had our Sitz Probe performance or practice last week, and you could just tell that the actors really fed off of the energy of the orchestra. And now as we've moved into our dress rehearsals, it's really helping them on stage and lifting them up and really supporting them. And it's really cool to have that many students. I think there's two non-students that play in the pit, but the rest of them are all students. And it's kind of the same thing with casting the show. More students keep wanting to be involved with the pit, and there's not enough room for them, and so kind of turn them away.
So is that true, actors? Hearing the orchestra was helped you ratchet your performance up another level
yes.
or two?
Yeah.
What makes the difference? Why does it matter?
Usually we use a recording, but with the pit, I don't know, it gives more, I don't know, the energy is better. It's louder, I guess you could say, and so makes you want to give even more energy.
And it helps it be more, like, realistic.
Yeah.
Even though you're, like, portraying a character, you're not really that person, it really helps you make yourself believe that you're that person.
You're also subject to the vagaries of whoever's conducting this production, meaning they can decide we're going to take it faster or slower than the recording may have.
Yes.
Live musicians might make an error or two that probably aren't in the recording.
It's definitely an adjustment, but I think that we have a great conductor, and the people in the pit are working just as hard as we are. They have rehearsals themselves, and coming together, we just have to see how we can all blend, but it's been going really well so far.
Well, it's judging from Stephen Larson's playing on the piano, it sounds like it's would be tricky for the orchestra to play some of those dance numbers, those more jazzy feeling numbers. Who's conducting, by the way?
Darren Hicks, who is the music coordinator for the district.
And the band director at Urbana High
yep.
School. It's Urbana High School's production of The Wiz. It opens Wednesday night at 7:30, continues Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm sorry, 7 o'clock, continues Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the same time. And then there's a Sunday matinee at 2:30 happening in the newly refurbished theater at Urbana High School on Race Street in Urbana. And best of luck to everybody with the production.
Thank you.
How does one get tickets, by the way?
You can get tickets at the door. The door is open 30 minutes prior to 7, so 6:30. And then you can, if you'd like to reserve, you can email or call the school and leave a voicemail, and I'll reserve the tickets in your name. You just pay for them when you pick them up.
Okay, I'll give the phone number. It's area 217-384-3505, 217-384-3505. Thanks to Caitlin Elliott, Jeremiah Beasley, Fazwa Diener, and director Tom Broker and pianist Stephen Larson for giving us a preview of the show. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Stay tuned next for a feature on Words in the Wind, Illinois Public Media's program supporting its book mentor project that's going to happen this Thursday in Champaign with a repeat performance next Tuesday in Urbana. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's music by Sergei Prokofiev from his Music for Children, played by Boris Berman here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Appreciate you joining us on the show today. And next up, we have two of the actors who will be participating in this year's Words in the Wind, which is a production that benefits Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. And normally there's one performance. This year they're going to do two performances. Thursday night at 7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign. And then a repeat performance on Tuesday the 19th, so a week from tomorrow, at the Station Theater on North Broadway in Urbana. And Tom Mitchell, professor of theater at the University of Illinois, organizes this event, along with Molly Delaney, who is our, what are you here at WIL? I'm actually forgetting your title now that I think about it.
I'm Educational Outreach Director. It's okay, I forget
sometimes. It changes, too. It changes, I think.
Once in 10 years.
Once in 10 years. Oh, okay.
I had a little bit of an upgrade a while back.
And put director in the title
that's
or
right,
something
that's
like
right.
that. Yeah. Well, and then we have two of the actors here who I'll introduce in a minute. But why don't you tell us a little bit about, first of all, the Book Mentor Project, since that's what's being benefited by this event.
Sure. So Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project, this is our 10th year. By the way, this is the 5th year for Words in the Wind, so we have two anniversaries. Our Book Mentor Project serves families in Champaign Early Childhood Program and Champaign County Head Start, so a total of about 720 families. We have mentors, volunteer readers that we train who go into the classroom once a month, read a book, and do a related activity with the children, and then on that day, every child in those classrooms gets a copy of that book to take home. And all of this is paired with resources from Illinois Public Media and PBS. So everything is related to PBS Kids programs. And then we serve families in a variety of other ways, too. We have family nights at both the Champaign Early Childhood Center and at the Parkland Planetarium for Head Start, all related to the same themes around the book. And we also use PBS shows, including apps and online games and videos in the classrooms as well.
When you say we train, who does the training and what does it consist of?
Well, up until this year, it's primarily been me. So we meet, we have for each one of the books that the mentors read, we develop a story plan that has activities related to it and things that teachers can use in the classroom in addition to what happens during the book mentor visit. So the training basically consists of going through those story plans so that all of the mentors know kind of the basics of how to read this particular book, things to emphasize, if there's catchphrases that are repeated, how do you use your voice to kind of command the attention of the children and to really engage the children around the book. And then also to go through whatever that activity is for that particular book so that everybody's comfortable once they get into the classroom. So most people, it's not quite as easy as a lot of people think to go in and to read to a group of preschool children. So they're always delighted to see you. But if you ask too many open-ended questions of a group of preschoolers, it kind of erupts into chaos. So the training is really about kind of how to to engage very young children in this process of reading.
So you said until this year it's been you.
Until this year it's been me. This year we actually we got a small grant from the Seaman Foundation to be able to train or to use three of our book mentor teachers who've been doing this for a number of years to do trainings with other child care providers and other early childhood professionals out in the community. And so tomorrow night is our very first one, and we're doing it at the the Urbana Early Childhood School. So it's pretty exciting. We have about, I think as of this afternoon, we have about 35 people who will be there.
That's fantastic. And do you do any of the story reading yourself?
I do if they let me. So so if I happen to be at one of the sites, I always love it when people let me know that they can't be there because I will jump in and sub. And that's my kid fix for a while. So, yes, I do. And I also try to test some of the stories with kids so that I know how they're responding and how to kind of work that engagement into the process of reading to them.
Do you choose the stories that get read by the volunteers?
It's a long process, Kevin. So we take into account teacher preferences. But we also, you know, we're serving 720 plus families with this program. So there are things like the books have to be available in Spanish. We have to be able to get 720 copies of that book, which is not really a small feat. And they have to all cost $4 and under or under, including shipping. So that puts a little bit of a limit on it. And then within that, we try to find things that align with our programs. And the focus for the last couple of years has been literacy, but it's also math and science. So we're trying to find books that are that go along with that theme to be able to introduce math and science vocabulary and concepts to the kids as well.
So that's the Book Mentor Project from Illinois Public Media, the event that is going to benefit this week, benefit that project this week is the fifth annual Words in the Wind. And we have two of the actors who are going to be reading in concert style, it says. I'm not exactly sure what that means, so I'll let you tell me in a minute. Various children's books. Christine Sevick Johnson is somebody I've known for years. I'm not exactly sure how many by now. and Gary Ambler, I guess I'd have to say as well. Gary acts a lot at the Station Theater, which is where the second performance is going to happen. And I just happened to have seen Christine the other day at her day job over at the Campus School for Girls.
Campus Middle School for Girls, that's right.
Where you are the
drama teacher.
Drama teacher,
and I teach
enough.
Stitching and embroidery as well. So there you go.
And will you be modeling any of your products as a costume at this event?
No. I suppose I could, but most of them are in frames. So I could wear a sandwich board of framed embroidery, perhaps. Don't think that would really be appropriate.
Well, what is a concert style reading? I mean, what does that mean as opposed to just getting up and reading books?
Well, I think we're lined up on the performance space like an orchestra in a concert, and we each step forward when it's our turn to do our reading. So I suppose there's that element to it. We try to dress in the way that we would if we were performing in a music concert, to pay respect to the authors who have spent so much time writing these books in the first place, and also to look attractive for one another and our audience. So I suppose those are the elements that you could say define this as a concert-style reading.
But you don't feel compelled to appear like any of the characters in the particular stories you're reading?
Well, some of us do. I mean, we don't dress up in costume for the character, but we do don their gestures, their physical life, their vocal life.
I would also say that in relationship to it being a concert, that Tom Mitchell carefully selects the books that are read so that they all kind of flow into each other and they're cohesive. So it's not that there's necessarily a theme, but certainly it's more like the pieces of a music concert would flow together and kind of weave around each other. So it has more of a cohesive feel to it.
Well, that does answer one question I was going to ask, which is who picks these? And, of course, these are not subject to any of the strictures that you're subject to for the Book Mentor program.
No, no. And we were discussing this, like, what would Tom say about this? He lurks in bookstores and at the children's department at the library. And he goes, he basically goes through hundreds of selections to try to find things that work well as a performance piece. And I think he's very gifted at it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our Absolutely. Fifth year doing this, and it is the one, not the one talent that Tom has, but it's the thing that he really brings to this that I don't think other people could do as well. I mean, I think it's an incredible gift that he has to be able to look at a work of literature and say, hey, Bing, I think this would be really good on stage performed by. And he also then matches it up with all of the actors that are in the show. He seems to, I think, float things. I mean, you guys can address that, whether he floats things your way that he knows you will be able to bring out.
I certainly feel that way about other performers. I've often kind of wondered what he is seeing in me that...
He picks hard things for you, Gary.
He does.
He selects difficult pieces. I think I'd be flattered by that.
And a wide range of pieces you've read over the years as well, which has been lovely
yours are always very complicated rhythmically and
language-wise usually, yeah.
So you obviously are both then repeat performers in this in this event.
5 years.
Tom makes a point of saying, this is in the press release to this event, that, quote, the performances are created for adults, but children might enjoy them as well, unquote.
I think might was an odd choice, actually, for that. I think the one, I would say children enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I think that the thing that is a little bit more complex about it is that it is a concert, and it generally is between an hour and 90 minutes. And for a preschooler, that's a really long time to sit, no matter how long you're enjoying something. So there are children that come every year. I don't think anybody's ever said, wow, this is not for kids. It's completely appropriate for children. But the length of the concert might be a little prohibitive for somebody with preschoolers, but it just, again, it depends on the preschooler.
He goes on to say it's a chance for grown-ups to take secret pleasure in enjoying the concise stories and playful language in books that we only get to read when we are kids or parents with kids. Well, I know you brought some samples, mm-hmm. Gary and Christine. Who wants to read what first?
Shall I?
Sure.
Okay. I'm reading a bit of a nice little story called The Man Who Lived in a Hollow Tree. And it was written by Anne Shelby and Cor Hazelar. I hope I'm close to that.
And I read, I mean, just before you start, I actually did a little bit of reading about some of these stories. Mm-hmm. This is actually based on an Appalachian legend?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, I have not researched it at all, but it certainly seems like an old mountain tale.
Okay.
Yep. Way back in the mountains, way back in time, there once was a man who lived in the hollow of a sycamore tree, and lived and lived and lived and lived and lived. His name was Harlan Birch, and the trees back then were a lot bigger than they are now. The whole thing got started because Harlan Birch was a carpenter. He made tables and chairs, bedsteads and butcher blocks, baskets, bowls, hoe handles, churn dashers, walls, window casings, split rail fences, doors, floors, and G-Hall whimmy-diddles. Everything from cradles to coffins was Harlan Birch's motto. Everything from cradles to coffins. So he spent a lot of time in the woods, noticing things. And picking out trees to make things from. Pine for this, poplar for that, maple or oak for something else. And every time he cut one tree, Harlan Birch planted two trees back. Somebody else might need a tree someday, was Harlan Birch's philosophy. One day, he was in the woods, noticing things, and he spied a bird's nest. Then he spied a squirrel's nest, a foxhole, a rabbit hole, and one giant sycamore big enough for a bear to live in. Or Harlan Birch, thought Harlan Birch, and he stepped inside. An ideal residence, Birch declared, and he moved in that very day, lock, stock, and barrel. There was a side of work to be done, of course. There always is when you move into a new place. But before long, he had it all fixed up. Nothing fancy, understand, but comfortable. Comforting. Home. And so Harlan Birch lived in the hollow of a sycamore tree. And lived, and lived, and lived, and lived, and lived. I'll stop there. There's a little bit more to go.
An excerpt from The Man Who Lived in a Hollow Tree. The author is Ann Shelby, an illustrator, Cor Hazelaar, and read by Gary Ambler. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, Gary is one of quite a number of actors who are going to be participating in this year's Words in the Wind, which will take place at 7 o'clock on Thursday at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign. And then what's described here as a more casual encore performance at the Station Theater in Urbana next Tuesday, the 19th, also at 7 o'clock. What makes it more casual, do we know at this point?
Well, at the theater, we're doing it on what we call our dark nights. We have a show actually in there now. In fact, I can recommend it. It's Tom Mitchell's production of Come Back, Little Sheba. And it has two more weekends to play. It's quite good, so I recommend it heartily. But we will be performing Words in the Wind on their set. So we'll be...
I think from having listened to Tom describe it, the atmosphere at the church, it's a beautiful church, and it has fabulous acoustics and is really, you know, made for performances. But it does have a more formal feel, and the actors will be dressed in more formal attire. The station, if you've been there, you know it's pretty small, and it's a pretty intimate arena. And I think that's where I would say rather than casual, it'll be a much more intimate performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, everything at the station is intimate.
True.
It is, indeed.
Just because of the smallness and the closeness that it makes it a really interesting place to see theater, I have to say. All right, Christine Sevick Johnson, what have you chosen?
Well, I have a piece called Cool Daddy Rat by Kristen Crow.
And let me see what I wrote down about this. Actually, I wrote something interesting about the author. She is apparently the mother of seven. And her husband is a policeman who doubles as a mad scientist and inventor, which is very, very curious. And it sort of raised the question, at least one of the other authors I read about is also a parent. I wonder do we have any idea if children's authors, the best children's authors are parents? Have you ever looked into that at all, Molly, at all?
I have absolutely no idea, Kevin.
I wondered about.
But I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that that you have a better understanding of kind of what appeals to kids if you've been a parent. However, I that would be a great research project.
Yeah.
It might be, yeah.
I have no idea about the statistics on that either, except after reading many books to my two sons as they've grown up, it certainly seems that many children's book authors are parents.
Mm-hmm. At least you would assume from what they write about.
Exactly, right.
In this case, it's about, what, a dad and a son who are musicians?
A dad and a son who, are jazz musicians. Shall we go ahead?
Please.
All right. Cool Daddy Rat. By Kristen Crow. Cool Daddy Rat, shooby-dooby-doo-dat, grabbed his hat and his rat flat, zowie-zowie-zoozat, and said goodbye to his spry guy. Huggy-wuggy-boo-bat, I'll see you, ace. Gotta scat and play my bass. And so he zow rode a train neath the rain drains, click-clickety-rat-tat, got to scat for a fat cat, witty kitty Schubert, went an odd way down Broadway, hippy-zippy-zee-zat, and found Ace in his bass case, speaky-squeaky-hoo-dat, real sneaky son. Now tell Mama what you've done. And then he yow caught a gig at the Big Swig, hello fellows, pat-pat, plucked the blues on a schmooze cruise, schmoozy-doozy chit-chat, made a mime stare in Times Square, looky-looky, see that, and filled the street with his sweet beat, Daddy's such a cool rat. You like my jazz? It's the best this city has. And then he, pow, strummed a solo in Soho, jazzy spazzies he's at. Played nonstop on a rooftop, yipsy-tipsy-top dat, and heard the noise of his boy's voice. Zooby-zooby-zat-zat, a diddy-diddy-wah! He bowed proud to a wowed crowd. I didn't know you could scat. We better hurry. Your mama's gonna worry. And so they, wow, hailed a cab to their rad pad, hurry, hurry, scat rat. Kept their sights on those night lights, shooby-dooby-doo-dat. Fell asleep to beep, 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 beep. Coo, daddy rat.
Is that the entire story?
That's it.
That's great. You had to have had fun preparing that, or is this just a big improvisation for you?
No. Honestly, when I first looked at the piece, I thought, oh, what am I going to do with that? And it really took some examination because the meter in... So it's essentially an A-B-A-B structure throughout the stanzas, but the A rhythms are different from the B rhythms. And so as I was preparing it, I did all of the A lines, and then I did all of the B lines and got those words comfortable in my mouth, and then I went back and put it together. But, it was a bit of a challenge. And I think the illustrations would help me understand more clearly what the story was, but... I have the words, and I will go back and look at the illustrations, but I think that that's really a wonderful thing that we start with the words because that's where the story begins.
I'm glad you mentioned, sorry, Molly, I'm glad you mentioned illustrations because I wanted to ask about that. But first, let me say that was Christine Sevig Johnson reading Cool Daddy Rat by Kristen Crow for Words in the Wind, which will benefit the Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. I wanted to ask whether illustrations figure in this presentation at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. No, and Tom deliberately gives all of the actors their pieces without the illustrations. So he sends just, he translates everything into text only and then sends them their text. So there's no visual element of this except for the actors on the stage. And I love that you said you had to work until the words were comfortable in your mouth. What a great way to say that.
Well, especially words like some of those. Yes. I could just imagine stumbling all over them, unless you've really practiced the tone and the rhythm and everything else.
Yeah.
Because good stories have rhythm, whether they are in poetic meter or not.
Exactly.
And I imagine that's for you to figure out. And, of course, the fact that everybody who's involved in this is an actor of some sort or another, implies, I would assume, that you're trying to discover the characters that you're reading. And in the case of Gary, for example, clearly going back and forth between narrator and character, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out what should be the voice of both.
Right. But as Christine was saying, it so much has to do with the poetry of the language, you know, mm-hmm. and what, as Molly was saying, repetition, what phrases get repeated, you know. It's sort of the same way that you scan any kind of script that you do, though. You're sort of looking for the patterns and then...
Mm-hmm. Well, it should be... What's that?
Put it in the mouth.
Well, it should be a treat for everybody in the audience as well as for the actors participating. And there are quite a number of actors as well as three volunteers in the project who are going to read one of the stories.
Right.
Which is one from 1940, I noticed, called Caps for Sale.
Yes, and that's one of the ones that we're doing as part of the Book Mentor Project in the spring. And I do have to confess that I was really glad when that one made it through the list of teachers and we also let mentors vote on which ones they want for the next year too. Mm. So I was really glad to see that come through because frankly, I remember that from Captain Kangaroo when I was a little girl. Uh-huh. I absolutely love that story.
I have to look it up. I don't know if it's one that I know or not that I would have heard. Now I wonder. In any event.
I have it downstairs, Kevin. You can borrow it.
I'd be happy to. It's Words in the Wind to benefit IPM's Book Mentor Project. Thursday, 7 o'clock, Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign. And next Tuesday, the 19th, 7 o'clock also, at the Station Theater in downtown Urbana. Thanks to Gary Ambler and Christine Sevick-Johnson, and also to Illinois Public Media's Educational Outreach Coordinator.
Almost.
Education Outreach?
Educational Outreach Director.
Director.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that. I made a point of saying director earlier. Molly Delaney. And thanks for all you do for the Book Mentor Project and all the other projects you're involved
thanks.
In here at WYLL, AM, FM, and TV online and out into the world, as Molly likes to take these things. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our program is made possible today with support from the Courier Cafe, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, whether it's almond French toast for breakfast, garden fresh salads and homemade soups for lunch, or burgers and hand-dipped shakes for dinner. The Courier Cafe in downtown Urbana has been offering fresh choices for over 30 years. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, here on 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana, with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR. We'll go out with a little bit of a song by Ella Jenkins, and some kids get involved here eventually if we get that far. This song's called The Children's Librarian.
Name is Charlemagne. Yes, there is a lady whose name is Charlemagne. She served years and years of children, and she serves today.